The referee did not screw Bret Hart. Shawn Michaels certainly did not screw Bret Hart. Nor did Vince McMahon screw Bret Hart. I truly believe that Bret Hart screwed Bret Hart.
G'day, g'day, wrestling fans. How's it going? Welcome back to The Screwjob, a fortnightly podcast in which we rant, rave, bitch, moan, complain, menstruate, punch on, etc. about the WWE. It's where controversy is just a click away. I am the People's Champion, David Young. With me, as always, my co-host, the world's most dangerous man, Chris Young.
Good evening.
This is the first of two episodes you're going to be getting today, which is very lucky of them, don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just get to listen to us rant for even longer.
Oh, wow. It's double the goodness for your Friday, so get amongst it, man. This is going to be a lot of fun. First up, we're going to talk about probably the biggest thing to happen in the WWE over the past fortnight since our return of Season 2. We are going to be discussing the 1000th Raw. I had so much fun with this. Probably more fun than I had with some of the pay-per-views that have happened this year. There was just so much joy and nostalgia and just a celebration of all the cartoony madness that is the WWE. If you didn't enjoy Raw 1000 even slightly, then I seriously question you as a wrestling fan, because that was just too much fun. God damn it. I just loved it.
I was looking forward to it quite a lot, which made me think it was going to be a massive disappointment.
But it
ended up being really good.
Who else to kick off Raw 1000 than the one and only Vincent Kennedy McMahon? One of the few people who is still around from the very, very first Monday Night Raw back in 1993, where Chris still had shit in his pants around that time.
Still do.
He still does to an extent, but even more so back in 93. Yeah.
They call me the pants shitter.
He came out and gave a really sweet, really humble thank you to the extended WWE universe, all the fans around the world. I thought it was a nice way to kick off. It was very understated, I felt. They could have come out with, you know, fucking explosions and shit, yeah, but instead they angled it differently and just brought it back to basics, really, and I thought it was really sweet.
Every time Vince McMahon comes out and thanks the fans, I honestly think he's not talking to them, he's talking to their wallets. I don't know, it was
nice. That's just you being a cynic, though, let's be fair.
No, fucking hell, man. He loves money more than he loves people. It's just...
No shit, he's a fucking billionaire.
He's a billionaire, that's why. Like, I don't know, like, it was nice and everything, but you can just kind of tell he doesn't really give a rat's ass about people. He just likes that people like his product.
He's a bit of a nutcase.
Yeah. Well, when you walk like that for so long...
Oh, God, the strut.
Things happen.
The strut. I just want to walk like that. Oh, it's just so cool. Oh, too good. No chance! No chance in hell! No chance in hell! Didn't there used to be more of us? I lost my shit when this happened. We had Trips, we had Sean, and I was just assuming, none of the other guys will be involved, they won't bring him out. It'll just be Trips and Sean just doing the whole, let's throw some glow sticks thing.
Really old, so we're gonna make poo jokes.
But stupid as soon balls. As I heard, as soon as I heard... Didn't there used to be more of us? I completely flipped. And sure enough, out they came. The Road Dog Jesse James, the Badass Billy Gunn, and the 1-2-3 Kid. sorry, X-Pac.
Suck it.
X-Pac said a grand total of two words, but holy shit, it was so, so great to see all of DX together. For the first time in about, I don't know, I'm going to say about 12 years?
No, probably 10. Like, Billy Gunn and X-Pac were still with the company in 2002.
Yeah, but when they were all together.
Oh, like as DX?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, DX finished in 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
I like to think of D-Generation X as one of the major gateways for Chris and I into the whole world of WWE at the time. A whole bunch of larger-than-life characters just presenting a very full-on, aggressive, exciting, rebellious front. I mean, we had no idea what was going on. We just liked all the flashing colours. But, you know, after a while, it came to mean a lot more.
I had beef with DX because Triple H didn't like DX, and Triple H was my favourite. I like that when I started watching wrestling, I immediately started liking heels. I just skipped, you know, the 12-year-old John Cena Hulk Hogan thing and just went straight, this guy's badass. I don't give a shit. I like him.
Oh, the old school villains were badass.
Triple H and Chris Jericho were my favourites because... Triple H was just like, I am the game and I'll kick your ass with a sledgehammer. And then Chris Jericho just killed everyone with his voice. We're gonna get a little bit nostalgic because, you know, it was a very nostalgic episode.
Oh, yeah, it was, so for sure.
I'm gonna have just this little nostalgic sidetrack, but yeah. I love DX when we went back and watched everything. Like, we started watching wrestling in probably like 2000?
Around about.
Like, well, that was the first time we witnessed wrestling. We didn't probably catch on properly until about 2003.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Like, when we got someone who could tape it on pay TV for us.
Yeah, we were watching it a little bit before that. Around 2002, I would have been kind of getting more into it.
2002, definitely. I remember you coming home with Survivor Series on VHS taped for you.
Yeah, my friend Paul from primary school. He taped the Survivor Series, which had the first ever Elimination Chamber in it, which had Booker T, Kane, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, RVD, and Chris Jericho, who was accompanied to the ring by saliva.
Yeah, I had to wait for like 40 years for them to finish playing their song.
It was so funny.
It was awkward.
It was awkward, but it was so funny. But yeah, it was so great to see all of DX here just having so much fun together. And, you know, it was all very unscripted and unpretentious. We have to give it up for one of the star players, D. Sandow. My boy, yes. D. Sandow, coming out and getting his ass handed to him. Now, some people are just like, oh, it's, you know, it's such a Heath Slater thing to happen. Who fucking cares?
Nah, dude. Like,
Sandow
was perfect.
Sandow was exactly the one.
He is the antithesis of D-Generation X.
Exactly right.
He is, like, fucking anti D-Generation X.
He's a degenerate. He's an absolute degenerate.
Regenerate Y.
Something like that. He is fantastic, and he is really, really coming along as a heel at the moment. I can't wait to see him get more and more of a push. Money in the Bank was huge, but it's only going to get bigger and better from here.
Just before we move on.
Sure.
There's been word that officials were very impressed with Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
And are looking into giving him a match on television.
I would love to see that. I'm a big Billy Gunn fan. Despite, you know, a lot of people giving him crap over the years. Particularly The Rock. In one of my all-time favorite promos.
Fuck. Billy Gunn's prayer to God. What a promo that was.
I cry laughing every time I watch that. I have to say, I would love to see Billy Gunn in the ring, despite a lot of people not being big fans of his. It'd be interesting to see who they paired him with. Who would you like to see Billy Gunn go up against?
I would like to see the New Age Outlaws wrestle primetime players.
Ooh, I like that. That is a really good angle. Obviously, we had Road Dogg in the Royal Rumble, and that was an absolute
blast.
Road Dogg
is like a road agent or some shit for them?
Yeah, sure.
So, obviously, he's going to be around.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, primetime players will need to be tag team champions at the time. Have them, like, beat everyone, and then be like, man, we beat everyone, we could beat any other good tag teams of all time, and then, oh, you didn't know? Fucking, yeah. Yes.
And then out comes New Age Outlaws. I reckon if they angled that correctly, they could have that ready in time for Survivor Series.
They'd totally do that at a pay-per-view, it'd be amazing.
Survivor Series, man.
I would go there if I was in America and had money.
Of course. Billy Gunn was great, Road Dogg was great. X-Pac, he was there. As long as he was there, I was happy.
Yeah, I was surprised they got him. Really, you know, like, he was probably, like, smoking weed in a dumpster or something.
Ah, he can do what he wants.
And be like, hey, man.
Oh, God, his voice is completely fucked now.
Oh, man, it's fucked.
It so is. But I loved this, and if you didn't, then I've got two words for you.
Say it!
I'm a nice man!
We had a six-man tag team match to kick things off. Properly in the wrestling department, where we had the team of Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and the World Heavyweight Champion Sheamus taking on the very tumultuous team of Chris Jericho, Dolph Ziggler, and Alberto Del Rio. And on commentary, JR. Wasn't this a treat?
Good old JR. It was actually really good because it was probably the most I've enjoyed Sheamus in some time.
Mm.
He's not a bad wrestler. I'm just bored with everything that's going on right now in the world heavyweight title picture.
And, yeah, you kind of really need to take the guy in small doses. So to have him kind of interchanging with Rey, who's obviously, you know, trying to get his feet back in the ring after a while, and Sin Cara, who's slowly improving.
Yeah, Sin Cara was the odd one out there because, you know, I honestly think they should have put Chris Jericho on the Faces team. But then on SmackDown, he made his way, obviously. That was his transition to the face, the light side of the Force.
Well, yeah, let's not forget Ziggler attacking Jericho cost them the match.
Mm-hmm. Ziggler and Jericho needs to be a thing.
It's going to continue being a thing.
SummerSlam.
I cannot wait for it to continue being a thing. Like, it is pants-shittingly exciting and awesome.
And the moment Dolph Ziggler gets that World Heavyweight title, I would like to see him defend it against Chris Jericho in a 60-minute Iron Man match. And I would blow loads. Maybe, if not 60, then a 30-minute.
We might get something along those lines.
Because
who knows?
That would be match of the year.
It would be pretty damn awesome.
Well, WWE match of the year.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's talk about JR, because JR has been in and out of the WWE, you know, every now and then he comes back. He's been on FCW recently, which is cool, doing some commentary.
They have the best team. They have the best commentary team in the WWE. Jim Ross and William Regal.
They really know their way around it, and yeah, it probably doesn't have, you know, the heat or the pizzazz that comes with King and Lawler or Booker or whoever else you want to talk about, but in terms of just straight calling and straight, you know, commentating, JR and Regal is an absolutely fantastic team.
Well, they're already automatically better than Raw and SmackDown on the basis of that Michael Cole isn't yapping. You know, like, if it was Michael Cole, William Regal, and Jim Ross, it would be awful.
To you, JR! Huh? Huh? William Regal! I didn't even know you worked here anymore.
I didn't know you worked here.
I'm going to punch you in the face in a matter of minutes if you do not shut up.
And Taz is not going to be here to help you. He's gone.
I'm a very, very good fighter, and I will hurt you several times. Weber.
Weber just comes out of nowhere.
England!
England.
The Olympics and things.
Oh, yes.
This is our Olympic episode.
It's in case you didn't know, Wade Barrett is competing and winning all the sports. We're getting quite silly. Let's bring focus back to the match. I thought it was, you know, a very kind of predictable ending, but it was a nice enough match all the same, and it was great to see the flickering of the flame of that particular feud of Ziggler and Jericho coming along just a little bit further. And obviously, in my opinion, it's going to be leading to a really good match at SummerSlam.
Here's hoping.
So, what would you like to see out of this in the future? We know that Sheamus and Alberto is obviously going to happen at SummerSlam. We also know that Jericho and Ziggler is going to be happening.
Well, that hasn't been announced, but we want it to.
It's pretty much set in stone.
I hope so.
What I'd like to know is what you see happening for Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara for SummerSlam. What's going to be their next big match? Where can they go from here?
I don't see them fitting in anywhere. Rey is involved in a story. He might maybe triple threat for the World Heavyweight title. Alberto Del Rio needs to win at SummerSlam.
Why is that?
Because Dolph Ziggler needs to cash in on a heel.
Do you think that's legitimately what's going to happen?
I am hoping that is what's going to happen, and I'm hoping that Dolph Ziggler turns face.
Well, maybe.
It won't be instant. It will be gradual. Like, he will start acting more and more like a face, and faces will start going, "Hey man, we had beef before, but now we're cool."
Some bullshit like that.
I would love to see that happen. I'd also love to see him leave Vicky. Because Vicky is the best heel manager in the country.
Mm.
Not the company, rather.
And in the country, for that matter.
Oh, yeah. In several countries.
North America.
In Mexico. Yes. What I would love to see is Vicky just go away for a little while, and then when Sol Guerrero, a.k.a. Raquel Diaz, is ready to come up to the big time, have her mum manage her.
Ooh.
Boom, boom. That's huge.
I do like that. I do like that a lot.
She's going to be the future of women's wrestling in the WWE.
You think?
No doubt. She is a talent.
Yeah, wow.
It's not just the name. Like, she's a talent.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I am really excited about, like, the prospects in FCW. Because the 2 weeks that I watched all of WWE, like Raw, SmackDown, FCW, Superstars, NXT, FCW had the best shows by far.
Mm.
You know, there's so much talent just sitting there. It's going to be exciting. The next 12 months, I tell you what, it's going to be a doozer. Who's that jumping out the sky? Are you proud, Mysterio? Here we go. Run the mask
out, the girls, the dance out, the boys, just back out, better tap out. Go! Ooh, wow. Brodus Clay won again. He beat Jack Swagger.
Who?
But... Wait. Holy fuck, is that Dude Love? It's fucking Dude Love!
Oh, cool. Hey, Mick Foley, how's the paycheck treating you?
Have a nice day! Oh my god, wedding of the century! B. Danielson, Adj Lee, getting hitched and shit. It was announced last week, D. Bry proposed, AJ said yes, it was all great and hilarious, and there was a really funny peep show on SmackDown beforehand, but this, folks, this was the real deal. Actually, 3 pretty notable things happened here. We got the return of Slick, which was pretty great, considering 75% of the audience had no fucking idea who he was. And then AJ said yes. But she wasn't saying yes to D-Bry. She was saying yes to another man. And that other man was Vinnie Mac. But before you get carried away, Vinnie Mac is not dicking AJ. He totally is.
He totally is.
He totally is. He's not doing that. He has appointed AJ as the new GM of Raw. Oh, damn. AJ left Daniel at the altar and became Raw GM.
I was so excited about AJ being, you know, like the biggest, the most over diva they had because, you know, then she could be the Divas Champion or whatnot. I actually forgotten until just now who the Divas Champion was.
Mm.
Like, that division is just dead.
Yeah.
And now that they've got their most over diva in a desk job, same with, like, Eve. Eve's popularity / overness just went down the toilet as soon as she got a desk job. You know? I think it's a bad move. Like, AJ's over and everything, but I think it's dumb to have her in this sort of, you know, executive role.
I think it suits her. I think... I definitely don't think it's going to be permanent. I definitely think it'll change before the year's out, but just for the next few months... I reckon it'll be interesting to see how she plays with this position of power. Like I said, she's really over, and her character has really strongly developed, and She's going to make a lot of really irrational and hilarious decisions on Raw. And part of me is really excited about that. Part of me is terrified, of course, but the other part is really excited.
You know what? I sort of dig crazy chicks.
After being stood up in the ring, D-Bry is then interrupted by Uncle Phil. That's right, the WWE Champion CM Punk came down to have a chat. And then The Rock came down to have a chat to the pair of them. The Rock has just announced that whoever is the champion at the Royal Rumble for 2013 will face none other than the Great One for the WWE Championship. They're going to be playing this down over the next few months so people aren't, you know, spending the next few months just waiting for The Rock to come back. But I think it's good that they've, you know, that he's thrown his hat into the ring. It might lead to a WrestleMania match. Who knows? All I can say is that I really, really want Rock and Punk to happen. Hell, I wanted it to happen at SummerSlam, but I'm more than happy for that to happen at the Royal Rumble. It's going to be pretty massive.
Like, I get him coming back to do high-profile matches, but when he comes back to challenge for the title without even wrestling any other matches, he just gets a title shot. I just think that's really dumb. Like, I get that he's the Rock and everything, but you still should have to earn it, I think, anyway.
That's an angle that they can work with, though. Punk will just completely berate The Rock for, you know, being the Silver Spoon champion, you know, just walking in and taking what he wants, you know. There's going to be a hell of a lot of good promos on that, if they angle it right.
Yeah,
there is definitely great potential here, you've got to admit that.
Yeah, definitely. I just don't like the fact that he didn't even have to qualify for it. He just went, title shot, please, I'm a movie star. And they complied.
What, you'd say no to The Rock?
Yep.
You'd say no to The Rock?
If I was head of creative, I'd say, well, or we could be logical here, and you're like number 200 in the rankings, because you haven't wrestled a match ever. Like, you haven't wrestled a match. You've wrestled, what, 2 matches in the past, like, 7 years. Okay, so you'd be about number 200 in the rankings behind, like, Chris Benoit and shit. You know, like, there's no logical explanation as to why he just comes back and gets a title shot, you know? I just think there should be...
You're overthinking. It's the fucking Rock.
Don't care.
Of course you don't care.
It should be closer to sports than it is to entertainment.
Well, it's not.
When it comes to the world title, it should be.
Wrestling is serious business. It's the Rock. It's the fucking Rock.
Don't care. It's the Tooth Fairy.
That was one time. Oh my god. What about The Rock and Daniel Bryan? Of course, D-Bry was the one who got rock bottom here. And I thought there was some good chemistry there. Do you think Danielson would be over enough to go one-on-one with the Great One?
I think Danielson would be capable enough to go one-on-one with the Great One, which I think is enough, because the match will sell regardless of who his opponent is, except for, like, Heath Slater. If The Rock came back and wrestled Tyson Kidd, it would be match of the year. If The Rock came back and wrestled Dolph Ziggler, it would be match of the year.
don't do that.
You know, like, even if he came back and wrestled Kane, it would be great. You know? The opponent isn't, like, it doesn't really matter that much, because it's The Rock, as you said. He's a big deal. And, I don't know, like, I'm fine with The Rock wrestling CM Punk for you know, pay-per-view buyers and tickets and merchandise and all that jazz, but I just don't get that he automatically gets what is traditionally, you know, like, an experimental title match. They always, like, in over time, the Royal Rumble's world title matches have gone to guys who, like, you wouldn't think of. The fact that they'd use it on The Rock when the main focus of the Royal Rumble should be the Royal Rumble. And I think that's taking away from it.
I don't think you can overshadow the Royal Rumble, but
I think they will, though.
Not necessarily.
Knowing The Rock, he'll want to go 30, 35 minutes. And CM Punk will oblige.
Sure.
And that will overshadow the Royal Rumble. It might even go longer than the Royal Rumble.
I sincerely doubt it, dude.
Just get in and out. No, but you know what I mean. I think it's dumb. The fact that he didn't even have to earn it. He just got it. There should be a little bit of, like, you know, plot line. I know they've completely forgotten about the, you know, the defend your title every 30 days rule, but there are certain things that should stay, regardless of what creative thinks.
You're sounding a little bit, it's still real to me, damn it.
It is real, though. It's a real thing that happens.
Yeah, but you're investing too much into it. You're like someone who
shouts... I don't think you're investing enough into it.
Dude, you're like someone who shouts at the screen during Home and Away.
You mean you?
That was one time!
It was several times.
The throatiest there is, the throatiest there was, and the throatiest there ever will be. Bret Hart hobbled down to the ring to wave to the people and announce the Intercontinental Championship match for the night. We got the host of the Peep Show, Christian, defending his title against Mike the Miz Mizanin. And we have a brand new champion! Yes, sir! For the first time in his career, Mike has taken out the Intercontinental Championship. Great push.
Triple crown, baby. Triple crown.
I can't believe it. Just over a week after he returned, just after starring in the main event of Money in the Bank, in that excellent five-way Money in the Bank match. Giving some of the highlights to that match, if I might add. Just turning it into an absolutely brilliant match here with Christian. Christian has still got it, man. It's taken him a while to get back on the good foot after his injury, and, you know, since coming back as Intercontinental Champion. But I've got to say, Christian is got to be one of the most underrated guys working on either brand at the moment. I'm really, really into Christian right now. And this match was great. It was great to have Bret Hart watching on. Interestingly, Bret Hart actually defeated The Miz for the US title last year, or maybe the year before, I believe. So it was interesting to have Bret watching on while Mike took out the Intercontinental Championship.
He'd be like, I could beat that guy.
Wait a minute, I have beaten that guy.
Gold.
But, Chris, you're a Miz fan from way back.
Mate, always have been.
Yeah, sure. Do you think being Intercontinental Champion is what Mike needs right now?
Well, historically, the Intercontinental title is given to the hardest worker, the company guy.
Yeah, you know? that's a fair call.
It's a fact. Like,
well, it's not necessarily a fact.
It was for a fair while.
Santino was not the hardest working dude at the time.
No. I mean, like, when it was original, like when it was the freshest title. You know, like Pat Patterson days. It was the workhorse got the Intercontinental title.
Sure. Okay.
And I think that in that sense, like just how he was given the world title, it's just a reward for all his hard work. Like, he dropped R-Truth and did everything he could to get back on the good foot with the company.
And they cock-blocked him for so long.
They cock-blocked the shit out of him. They fired his girlfriend. They did everything, man. Wait, I think they fired his girlfriend before he dropped R-Truth. But that's regardless. Anyway, the fact that he's come back from the movie, they've put him in the main event of the title. Like, they've put him in the title picture straight away. And then they've put the Intercontinental title on him.
Yeah.
It just adds so much prestige. Prestige that was lost the moment that Big Show won the title.
Yeah, sure, totally.
Or everything that Cody Rhodes worked so hard for, that was destroyed by the Big Show, and then sort of restored by Cody Rhodes again, and then given to Christian, is now fully back up by giving it to a main eventer like The Miz. And I'm proud to say he's a main eventer.
Yeah.
Because he fucking deserves it.
Yeah, he's got to be one of the longest serving and hardest working dudes in the company. But what do you think of Christian in this match? I thought he was really good.
Well, you made the point of The Miz having a lot of the highlights of his Money in the Bank match, whereas Christian had a lot of the highlights of his
Money in the Bank match. Sure.
So they've both come off like enthralling performances, captivating performances.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they worked really well. Like, Christian works really well with everyone. Mm-hmm. It's just how he rolls.
Yeah.
He has stellar matches with certain people, He worked really well with Edge back in the day. They just knew each other that well. But yeah, I thought he did really well. I'd rather not see him challenge again. I'd rather see him in the world title picture. I think he's earned it by having a stint on the second tier belt. I'd like to see him challenge for a world title.
Mm.
Just get in the picture somewhere. You know, that would be great.
So you don't think these two will have a rematch at SummerSlam?
Well, they've already had a rematch at this stage. They had a rematch on the SmackDown following.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good match, too. It was a very good match. It was same caliber as their first match. So I believe that was his rematch clause.
Okay.
Done and dusted. So he can qualify for another title, but I don't really want to see it.
Fair enough.
Hopefully, with a guy like The Miz, who will work every pay-per-view, they have constant title defenses, because that is what is lacking in the second-tier title divisions. I cannot actually remember the last time Santino defended. He might have done it on Raw or SmackDown occasionally against, like, Jack Swagger or Heath Slater or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Someone who is in no way deserving of a title shot. But they just really need some, contingency, you know?
Absolutely.
They just need to have the fact, like, I'll say this again, and this is one of my biggest annoyances with current product. Night of Champions has ruined every other pay-per-view by making every title on the line on the same night a big deal. It was never a big deal. It was always the done thing.
Mm, sure.
Except for, the occasional, Survivor Series where the world champion would be in one of the big teams.
Yeah.
Like Batista on Team SmackDown or something like that.
Yep.
Night of Champions has ruined every other pay-per-view except maybe WrestleMania and SummerSlam, where they will put every title on the line just because they have a stacked as shit card, and they can.
Yeah.
And I just think it's dumb, the fact that they don't defend their belts every month anymore. Mm. I just think it's all just a bit silly, and they need to take a step back and realise that they are fucking up.
Well, it's no Marine 3, but at least we can honestly say right now that we have an awesome Intercontinental Champion.
Awesome! I came to play! There's a price to pay! Time for you to get down on your knees!
Triple H, Paul Heyman, Stephanie McMahon, and Brock fucking Lesnar. Promo of the year? Promo of the year? Anyone? Anyone? Promos of the year?
Maybe.
Promos of the year?
Year's not over anyone? Yet.
It's going to take a lot to top this for me. The shit between Uncle Paul and Paul E. Dangerously, two of the biggest Pauls the WWE has ever seen, locking horns week after week, nasty, bitchy, calling each other out, insulting each other's kids. It's just getting brilliant now. It got so loud and so aggressive when Paul Heyman snapped and told Triple H, "It's on!" I marked the fuck out. We have our main event for SummerSlam. It's Triple H and Brock Lesnar, and I cannot freaking wait. Chris, your thoughts?
I don't know how this match hadn't happened before.
Mm.
I think it was mostly because Brock was a SmackDown guy and Triple H has always been a Raw guy.
Yeah, yeah. When Brock was really coming up in 2002, Triple H was off doing his own kind of thing.
Yeah, he was World Heavyweight Champion when Brock was
WWE Champion. Yeah, yeah. So their paths didn't really cross.
No, not really.
So,
and he had lost the Undisputed title before Brock got his hands on it anyway, so...
Yeah, yeah, sure. So, with that in mind, we've got two people, you know, who have been away from the company for an extended period of time. Some have only wrestled occasionally since. Do you think they'll be a little bit rusty, or do you think it's just going to go fucking hog wild from the get-go?
Well, I honestly think they've been hiding this for some time. There's no way that Triple H hasn't been training every week.
Yeah, sure, of course.
You know, there's only so much you can do at the office in one day, you know. He would eventually go practice somewhere. Whether he will have, trouble with not so much the momentum of Brock, but more like the physicality,
mm-hmm.
will be interesting to see. I'm looking to see Brock get over in this match. If he doesn't, I think it'll be just a waste of time bringing him back to have him lose two high-profile matches. Either that or they're paying him a lot of money to put everyone else over.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar loses to Tyson Kidd.
Bum bum.
But yeah, I would like to see him win. I would like to see him absolutely demolish Triple H and just have Triple H never wrestle again. Just like, well, not for like a while, obviously.
You reckon Brock will win this match?
I hope so.
Mm.
Like, I just hope he just beats the shit out of him.
What do you think of Creative's moves bringing back Paul Heyman in the interim?
Oh, man, Paul Heyman's the best.
Wasn't he fucking great throughout this whole storyline?
He has been great forever.
Oh, for sure. But, like, this has got to be some of the best work he's done in years.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's very good that they brought him back to manage Brock again.
Because
it's very much a throwback to, like, you know, all the Lesnar marks really, really appreciate that, I think.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, it will be interesting to see his moveset after, you know, his first match back, he was fresh out of the UFC. He was still in MMA mode.
Oh, he was so stiff.
He was so stiff and he was bad. That was a really hard match to watch.
The Cena match.
Because he legitimately cut him open like four times.
Oh, God,
that was
yes.
Like a shoot fight. It was actually kind of gross. And, like, I don't know. They shouldn't have brought him back so quickly. They kind of Sin-Cara'd it a little bit.
A little bit. I see what you mean.
He hadn't had time to adjust back to professional wrestling. Like, he still knew how to do it. But because he'd spent, what, like 3 years of his life training to actually fight people, I think that really, really hurt his wrestling skill.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, actually.
And I'd actually like to not see him in, like, mixed martial arts trunks. I'd like to see him in the throwback pro wrestling trunks, black undies, the fucking menacing skull thing on the back.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
And I hope for his sake that he remembers how to do his little dance at the top thing. And maybe even get some pyros for when he does the big jump. That would
yes,
be cool.
That would be so cool.
That was lacking the last few times he's wrestled.
Yeah.
That was always a huge part of his intro. And, you know, let's just forget that match with Goldberg. And, you know, fucking move on.
I think everyone involved in that match, everyone who called it, the guy who officiated it, literally everyone in that match has forgotten that match. Except us.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still burned into the back of our minds.
It's never leaving.
We are never going to shut up about how bad that match was.
It was really bad.
Oh, good lord. But, yes, great promo. Great way to kick things off for SummerSlam. I am shitting dick nipples and excitement over this main event. It's going to be fucking awesome.
That is a valid, valid response.
Here we are at the end of the road. Slater. Week after week of getting his ass handed to him by a myriad of nostalgia pops. Even Doink the Clown. Except he won against Doink the Clown, but that's a different story.
He got the shit kicked out of him by DDP, so it doesn't really...
Yeah, it all worked itself out in the end. Yeah. Finally, the chick from Wendy's meets the chick from the Hardy Boys. Amy Dumas made her very, very welcome and triumphant return to the ring, where she took on Heath Slater in a no disqualification match, which means she was allowed to bring in some protection. That's right, Farouk and Bradshaw, the Acolyte Protection Agency, former tag team champions, in my opinion, one of the greatest tag team champions of the past 20 years. Incredible wrestlers. Legends in their own right. Of course, Heath wanted none of this, so he decided to haul ass up the ramp until literally every single legend that he has faced over the past month or so came out to lure him back into the ring. He got his ass handed to him by APA. Lita did an awesome little moonsault. 1, 2, 3. Big old celebration in the ring. Yay for Lita. Why isn't Lita back? There are people twice her age that are still wrestling. Why?
She had neck problems, dude.
I know she had neck problems, but she looked bloody fine.
Yeah, for 14 seconds of wrestling.
You give her the chance, you put her in the ring with any of the current divas.
Dude, it's her choice. Just drop it, man.
Look, I'm fully aware it's her choice, but...
It's also a doctor's choice, too. She might want to come back, but she was probably only cleared to do a moonsault. And a twist of fate.
I don't think it's as severe as someone like Edge. Like,
oh, God, no, but it's still... She had problems.
Oh, so yeah, she had for sure. I'm just saying, I would love to have her back. Could you imagine a match between Beth Phoenix and Lita? Would you not cry over how amazing that match would be?
That could have potentially already happened, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I think Beth Phoenix came in 2006, which is when Lita retired.
Yeah, I don't know if that ever happened, but just right now, that's something I'd love to say. Natalya Neidhart and Lita would be incredible.
Natalya Neidhart and Beth Phoenix would be incredible. We're not going to see that.
Well, sadly not, because they're both either... The thing about the Divas of Doom is that they're both either both faces or both heels at the same time. And there's never been any crossover.
You know, Beth Phoenix is over as shit and Natty Neidhart's getting some weird fart gimmick.
Yeah. There's just never any clarity there. No. Like, it's... I reckon it'll happen eventually. It's got to. But for now, we're just stuck with a really dead division. And I've thought of a few ways to kind of revitalize that. I honestly think having someone like Lita in there, you know, a really experienced, really energetic wrestler, would be super beneficial. Trisha's obviously not interested because she's off doing yoga or whatever the hell else.
She'd be doing porn.
Sick little
boy. Says 15-year-old Chris Young.
God damn.
Please do porn, Trish Stratus. No. It's alright. We don't need Lita because the WWE has signed the Queen of Wrestling, Sarah Del Rey.
Yes. And yes, I've heard good things about this.
Fucking sick.
It's really cool, actually.
She is phenomenal.
I've looked up a couple of her matches on the tube. Yeah, really impressive. I'd love to see what she's going to do to the division. I reckon she could have just as much impact as Karma.
Dude, she's going to come in and just fuck shit up and just be like, this is my title belt now. Give it to me, you weird accent motherfucker.
She's going to take that belt and wipe it with her ass, and when she's done with it, it's going to miraculously turn into the women's title.
Yes! No, even go even further, like the ladies championship.
Ooh, I like that.
From the 80s. That would be sick. Nah, but yeah, they need to drop that stupid butterfly thing. It's gross. It looks like something Jeff Hardy would wear.
Totally.
Fuck that guy.
Just quickly, so let's...
That's why we don't need Lita. And plus, she probably wouldn't want to do it full-time anyway.
Just quickly, let's get back to Heath Slater. What do you
really
think...
have to?
Just bear with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of how he's been treated over the past month or so, dealing with all of these legend wrestlers?
I think it's funny.
Do you think he's been loving it?
Yeah. Well, he'd be getting paid well.
Oh, for sure.
Jobbers probably get paid better than mid-carders, because they just have to constantly get humiliated on national television.
That is true, actually, yeah.
Where was I going? I think he's fine with it. If he wasn't fine with it, he wouldn't do it. They'd get someone like, I don't know, like, fucking... Who is another generic heel? Like, they'd get someone like T-Rex or someone to do it.
Mm.
And have Heath
Slater. Wait, who?
Tyler X.
Oh, yeah, right. Shit.
T-Rex.
I literally forgot he was in the company.
Yeah, me too.
Actually,
yeah, They'd have someone else doing it.
Actually, Tyler's going to be on our next little bracket.
Oh, yes, he is. You know, just get Toutman Derek Bateman to do it, you know?
T-Man, yes. That would be great. Tout but, is the worst. Yeah. Where do you see this going? you just think Heath Slater's going to be running in circles for a while?
Heath Slater's going to turn up at every Raw. I'm
just one man! Wait a minute. I am a great wrestler. I challenge anyone in the back to fight me.
Beth Phoenix music will hit, or Tyson Kidd's music will hit, or someone who they need to put over.
Mm.
Or like, I don't know why.
He's a cartoon character, that's why.
He's a cartoon character, and if every time he loses to someone, people remember how fucking good they were, he might be a really good worker, and just disguises it with his stupid head.
He could be a genius, we literally have no idea.
Yeah, like, he could be really good, and make, like, dudes like Psycho Sid, who probably haven't wrestled since he, like, broke his leg in 2000.
Yeah.
Make them look, like, really good.
Yeah.
And DDP looked good.
Oh, he looks amazing. That fucking yoga, man. Vader looked awesome.
Yes, Vader looks so good. Vader could come back. Vader versus Brock Lesnar.
Oh, shit. That could be so,
Battle
so
of the
good.
Century.
Oh, man. But yeah, it was great to see all the old legends.
Yeah,
you
it
know.
Was great to see all the old legends, except we didn't get to see Steve Blackman, which was actually really upsetting. Apparently, they were going to book him along with MVP. MVP was also on the shortlist of guys they wanted to bring back for the Raw 1000.
Tatanka was one as
Tatanka,
well.
Tatanka, yeah, the most racist gimmick I've ever seen in my life. Guys not even Native American.
Oh, what, more racist than Crime Time?
Yeah, because fucking Tatanka's not even Native American, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. At least JTG and Shad were like...
Actual criminals?
Actual criminals. No, they just look like it.
But, yeah.
Well, if we're going to talk about racist gimmicks, Primetime Players, really? And they spelt Players, P-L-A-Y-A-S.
Dude, don't say a bad word about the Primetime Players. They are gods. They are so good.
Primetime Players! I'm A.W. And I'm going to say real rude things on my road.
Shh, that's next episode. That's the next episode. But, yeah, Lita, amazing. Heath. You're doing all right, kid. Legends, thank you for everything. We're done. You know what keeps me up at night, Chris?
What?
The off chance that Jinder Mahal might come back on television.
Oh, God, no. Don't even joke about that.
You can't see it right now, but I'm holding a torch up to my face in pitch darkness.
Yeah, it's pretty intimidating.
And then Jinder Mahal came out with Tylo Rex and Unico and Camacho and Kurt Hawkins. Jinder Mahal and his merry band of jobbers decided to call out Kane and be like, "Hey, man, you always get matches on Raw. We don't. We're going to make our match tonight, and we're going to fuck you up." And then Kane was like,
"We formed a union.
The union forever, defending our rights." And then the lights went out, and The Undertaker came out, and he didn't take his hood off properly, but no one cares, because shit got fucked up. The Brothers of Destruction are back, and I had a boner for quite a while.
I had a stubble hawk.
It's true. Oh, his hair is so funny now.
I'm real bald, but I ain't gonna shave this bit. Fuck you, America.
Hell no.
I like to ride my motorcycle.
I like to cut my hair while I'm listening to Stained. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Undertaker and Kane are fucking awesome. Why can't they be together forever, just choke-slamming jobbers for a living?
Mate, you're using the term jobbers a bit liberally there. You know, to actually job means you have to actually be on television with matches other than, like, Ryback. Like, Jinder Mahal's never on television anymore. Oh,
dude, I don't give a fuck.
He's not a jobber, he's a
no-job. Jinder Mahal is the blue meanie. He's the leader of the job squad.
They should actually form a union. It would be hilarious.
Pin me and pay me!
We demand our rights! And also steak for dinner sometimes! Except Jinder, he can't eat calves! Give him lamb!
Kurt Hawkins is just there with an acoustic guitar playing protest songs.
Yeah, we just want to get paid tonight.
We shall prevail.
I would get more if I worked for Dixie Carter, but I ain't gonna because I'm loyal to the grave.
Why won't somebody bring back the Edgeheads? Thank you. Thank you very much. There's power in a union, people. There is power in a union.
Oh, I miss Zack Ryder. Why did he have to become famous and leave me alone with Tyler Rex?
Are you serious, bro? Dun dun dun. And then Trent Barretta just walks in. Hey, dudes, what's
hey,
going
dudes.
On?
I've been baked this whole time. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
That is so Trent.
It's so Raven, even.
It's so Raven. It's so Raven Trent.
Ray Trent. Trenton.
Great to have The Undertaker back, really. Yeah.
Even if it was only for one night.
Great to have Kane every single week. I just love Kane so much. When people ask who my favourite wrestler of all time is, I will always say Kane. No contest for me whatsoever. He is such a formative part of my love of wrestling. He was one of the first wrestlers I ever saw, and he's one of the wrestlers that means the most to me. I fucking love Kane so much. So, as long as we're talking a little bit of nostalgia on the 1000th Raw, I love Kane. How good's Kane?
I'd probably pat him on the bottom.
I'd pat him on the bottom twice. It all came down to this. After a bunch of various appearances from literally everyone from The Rock to Mae Young's son, we got a main event of the WWE Championship on the line, with CM Punk defending against the Money in the Bank winner, Mr. John Cena. Not bad. Obviously, it didn't have, you know, the edge of the seat suspense of their Money in the Bank match from last year, but
Or the rematch,
but it was still a very good match.
It was good for what it was.
Yeah, it was fun, you know.
Dusty Rhodes ending.
Okay, so
We better discuss that.
Big Show decided to come in and interrupt the STF because he's an absolute dickhead. He just stumbled in like the moron that he is and was like,
I think the correct word for the Big Show is brugglefuck.
Brugglefuck.
I'm not exactly sure what the definition of brugglefuck is, but if you saw it in the dictionary, there would be a picture of the Big Show going,
no, that's valid. That's completely valid.
I'm going to submit that to somewhere to try and make that an actual word in the English language.
Yeah, I'd be up for
that.
And
then I'll show the WWE, and they'll be like, oh shit, we got another word in the dictionary.
Yeah, Big Show. It's high time for this guy to just go away.
It'll happen.
It will happen eventually, but right now I'm just really frustrated with the way that his character is just constantly interrupting. He is just a bane of the main event existence right now. I cannot get over how annoying he is. Like, I've admitted to enjoying some of the moments that he's had over the past year or so, but enough is enough. He's overstayed his welcome, and his constant interruption of the world title run is just, ugh. I don't care. Like, at all.
Dude, there's nothing to care about. He's just a waste of space.
And then The Rock decided to come down and save the day, lay the smackdown on the Big Show. Punk was having none of that. He was just like, hell no, bitch. This is my territory.
It's my yard.
Yeah, this is my house. Don't piss all over it. And, yeah, a lot of people thought that was
shit
going to be
shit all over these walls, right?
A lot of people thought that was going to be Uncle Phil's heel turn, but I just thought it was just a vent of frustration. It's certainly made him a tweener, but I don't think that it's put him all the way over his heel just yet. Do you think it's too early for Punk to go back to being a heel?
Yes, and I don't think he's anywhere near heel yet. I think,
right.
He's very much a tweener. If you watch Raw 1001, you will see that his actions really are quite justified.
Yeah.
It follows my point of it not being a logical decision. It would make sense now, even though I was so bored with CM Punk being world champion. It makes sense for him now to reign until the Death Knoll. Like, until Royal Rumble.
I thought he was going to drop it at SummerSlam, but I genuinely don't know what's going
to
happen.
I don't
now.
Want John Cena to have the world title again, really.
Yeah, and I don't want ever. I don't again. Want it to be the Big Show either.
God no.
So yeah, we're in a pretty interesting situation right now in terms of the title picture, and I'm keen to see how it goes in the lead up to SummerSlam.
I honestly think The Rock will have more involvement. Whether he plays like a special guest referee or something, or he runs in to make sure that's like CM Punk wins.
Mm. Well, he's always had some pretty special moments at SummerSlam.
Yeah, like the Big Show will have the advantage and would actually logically win, but then Rocky comes down, like does all his finishing moves and drags CM Punk on him.
Sure.
Just to like and be like, I'll see you at the Royal Rumble deal. Like, fuck these other guys. Mm. I don't want to fight them. Mm. I'll fight you. I've got beef with you now.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not forget 10 years ago that The Rock had a pretty momentous match against Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
To give Brock his first ever world title run. It's interesting to see 10 years on that Brock Lesnar is going to be back and facing Triple H. And The Rock may well be involved in some way, shape or form. We're just not sure yet.
It would be a great match. Regardless, John Cena can just fuck off. Yeah, he doesn't need the world title, and he's proven that the past year.
Yeah, you can't really say that about many other wrestlers, that they are above
he is
a world title match.
He is beyond heel turn. You know, like, there's just no going back. Unless he, like, debuts in TNA as Hollywood John Cena, you know, there's just no coming back from
sure.
the fucking pinnacle of over that he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every person, pretty much, over the age of, like, 18 hates him. But that doesn't matter. He's so over that he can live with that, you know? Like, they embrace it. They make Cena suck shirts now. You know, it's just... it's insane.
It really is. But as long as he's keeping that momentum and as long as he's still putting on decent matches, I'm not that concerned over it.
Yeah.
I want everyone in this match, even the Big Show. I want everyone to bring their A-game for SummerSlam. And on that note, that is 1, 2, 3 from us. Thank you for listening to the first of 2 episodes for us right now. Thank you very much for supporting us in season 2. We're having a lot of fun already. Right now, we are just going to leave you with a couple of small plugs. If you would like to contact us in the world of the interwebs, then you are free to do so. You can email us at screwjobpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on Tumblr. We have a Tumblr. It has one post, as of the moment, which is on Raw 1000.
Yeah, so...
and some points that I didn't quite discuss tonight, that I discuss in the blog, and the blog mentions plots, things that I haven't discussed on the blog, but will mention tonight, which I have, hopefully. I cannot really remember when I wrote it, because I wrote it the day it happened, and that is a long time ago. That's like 2 weeks ago, so I don't exactly remember what I wrote. Thescrewjob.tumblr.com, follow us, ask us some questions. It will mainly be me. Yeah, so we have that, which is always fun. So send us anonymous hate or something, I don't know. That'll be cool.
There'll be plenty more going up on that in the interim between our episodes, just talking about wrestling and things in general from both of our perspectives, so feel free to keep up with that.
I will try and live blog SmackDowns, because I am at university when Raw is on.
Yeah.
So, I will do SmackDowns, which is on a Saturday here, so that's no problem.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, we'll try that, actually. That'd be great. We are hosted by Podomatic.com, which is the best source for free podcasting on the web. You can find us over there at thescrewjob.podomatic.com. Yes.
We have our own Twitters, personal Twitters, and we also have a Screwjob Twitter, which is at the Screwjob. And I'm not sure if it matters, but the T in the and the S in Screwjob are capitalized.
You can find it. You can find us with no caps, but yeah, it's at the Screwjob. You can find me at underscore Carnivus.
And I am at Chip Whizzler, which is Chip as in Chippies, and then Whizzler, Whizzler. It's probably the greatest heel character of all time. And I might change it soon, so we'll see.
Get on that shit while you
can. Don't worry if you can't find me. Just go to the Screwjobs thing, and I will change the bio to my new URL if I decide to change it. That's up in the air. ATM, lol.
We're on iTunes, of course, so if you are subscribed to iTunes, then we'd love you to leave a rating or a review, just to let us know that you're digging the podcast. It'll help with our rankings.
Yeah.
If you haven't found us through iTunes, just search Screwjob in iTunes and you'll be able to set yourself up there. We're also going to be uploading all of Season 1 soon. I think I'm just going to put it all in a RAW file and...
just put it on Bandcamp.
Bandcamp, you reckon?
Yeah, Bandcamp. Because then people can just stream it live, or they can download it if they want to.
Maybe, we might get onto that.
If you want, we could just have a name your price thing, if you want to give us like a dollar for it, whatever.
Yeah, sure. But, yeah.
Isn't it a biggie?
If you've just joined us and you didn't get all of Season 1, which has been deleted, don't worry about it, because all of Season 1 is still here. And we will be putting that up online soon.
Yep, we've backtraced its email, and it's being reported to the cyber police as we speak, so don't worry.
Of course, if you're not into any of these things, why not listen to us live on Stitcher Radio? Now, Stitcher has a free app for mobile phones, so your smartphones and
Androids.
Your iPhones and whatnot.
Androids and iPhones.
Yep. Which is a really, really cool little app. You can listen to us. You can listen to one of my favorite podcasts, which is This American Life. You can check out Alec Baldwin's really cool interview podcast, Here's the Thing.
Can you listen to Greg Proops?
You can listen to Greg Proops.
Then listen to Greg Proops. Don't listen to us. We're terrible. Listen to Greg Proops. Smartest man in the world.
There are thousands of other podcasts about sports, about comedy, about art, politics, whatever you're into, and you can listen to all of that on demand without any downloading or syncing, so it won't take up any space on your mobile phones. If you'd like more information on that, visit stitcher.com.
Mate, sounds bloody beautiful.
It's really great.
It's grouse.
It's really grouse, of course it is. And we are on there as well, so if you'd like the link, check our Twitter for a direct link to stream us live on Stitcher Radio.
And tell all your friends and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. If you've got friends that are into wrestling, by all means, let them know what we're doing.
If you hate wrestling, then tell people that we are terrible and they should listen to us and laugh. Because we will still get, like, fun vibes from that.
Actually, I'm going to use a tactic of Sam Simmons. And if you don't like wrestling, then why don't you tell someone that you don't like who also doesn't like wrestling about us? So then you can bond over not liking us and not liking wrestling, and then having something in common, and then becoming friends with someone that you don't like. Yeah? You see what we're doing here? We're changing lives, man. It's pretty special.
And finally, if you are in love with a girl, tell her.
I think that's pretty valid. I think that's got it.
Because she probably can't tell.
Some great little dating advice.
Unless
Wonderful. She's
like a mind reader, then you might be in trouble.
Well, if you're dating a mind reader, fucking high five to you, because that is awesome.
That is commitment.
Alright, thank you for listening. We'll have a news-based podcast up shortly after this. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, my friends, my name's David.
I am Chris.
And here's to 1,000 more roars.
Suck it!